You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
So welcome everybody to 1 Million Cups. We have Zach from Midwest Super Speedway here joining us today. So Zach, if you want to go ahead and take it away.
Sure. Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me. So unfortunately, I don't have a presentation, so you just get to look at me and my discussion. So, I'm here to talk about Midwest Super Speedway, which is a concept for a new business in the area. Really, it's looking at being a high-speed indoor go-kart track somewhere in the Fox Valley. So to give you a little background, many years ago when I was a little bit younger, I used to race four-wheelers with my cousins and brothers all the time. And I thought, when I get older and I get a lot of money, it'd be awesome to have a big chunk of land. I could make my own track and I could race all the time. That would be awesome. And so as time went on, I started hearing about these go-kart tracks where you had to have a driver's license to go there because they went so fast. And it's like, well, I got to do that at some point in my life because that sounds awesome. And so those two ideas finally merged together about, I'd say, 10 months ago. And I was just driving over the highway past the mall. And I'm thinking, I've been in this town my whole life and I'm starting to see, all these big box stores. You got Yonkers and Sears and all these big stores is starting to close down. It's just like, well, I know all the online shopping's coming in and things like that, but what can we bring back to the Valley for, because everybody needs some type of entertainment. They need experience-based entertainment because, you can get gaming, you can get all the, arcades and stuff, but it's all just visual stuff. We want something that you can feel. And so I was like, well, why don't we pair that with some type of high-speed go-karting? Because there's tracks, throughout the U.S. There's one in Milwaukee. It's Valachi. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. So then the ideas just started brewing. And so I started reaching out to my mentor and I said, okay, do you know anybody that, has started up a business and just started to kind of really reach out to my network and see, okay, what do I have to do? How can I make this happen? And as the, momentum started building, it's like, okay, I think I really have a good idea here. So I started with a score. We have a chat. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's heard of that. It's kind of a free group that helps people kind of develop their business plans. And so I started with that, just didn't feel like I was, putting in enough effort of my own. And so I heard of eSeed. So I jumped into that class. We did the first virtual one this last summer, I think it was. And so that really allowed me to develop a business plan and really build up. We use LivePlan. So I was able to really put together my expenses, my revenues, and really start reaching out to different people and understanding what this business was going to be. So where we're at right now is, really developing, what our revenue streams are. We're looking at, doing leagues, possibly, 6 to 8 week series of leagues, doing, one-stop shop where you can just show up and it's called like an arrive and drive. So anybody, as long as you're 48 inches or taller, can show up, just drive around. We have, we would be junior carts and then adult carts as well. So ideally we'd have two tracks and you could do interchangeable where you can combine the tracks and we're talking 45, 50 miles an hour. So obviously you're going to have to wear a helmet. You're going to have to go through a little bit of training and things like that. But yeah, we're looking at different buildings. The ones I've eyed up so far, I've met with some realtors on the old Yonkers building that's attached to the mall. And then I've had a little bit of breakthrough with the Sears building attached to the mall because that was kind of a separate deal that the mall really didn't have anything to do with. But those are kind of the two spaces I'm looking at. And this would be what I consider like phase one, kind of for like the 16 to 25 to 30 year olds, basically, because I feel like there's a large gap in this area. Yeah, we have the family fun parks like Funset and Badger Sport Park and now the new urban air. But again, a lot of those go-kart places, they're kind of like your family owned putt-putt. You're not going to go very fast. You don't feel like a true racer. And so when I'm looking at Midwest Super Speedway, Joe, to feel like they can hop in this thing and really feel like they're, cruising around at, a racing speed, they can really compete against themselves. We'll have a timing system and we'll always go by best laps. So it's really an opportunity for anybody to feel like a true racer without having to invest all the time and effort into a race car or, going to the track and things like that. So I really feel like it's a good opportunity. And I feel like there's a good void in this area that this business would be filling. So like I mentioned, this would be kind of phase one. Phase two down the road would be potentially with a space like a Yonkers or a Sears building. You could expand onto that with like maybe an airsoft complex or something additional that could keep on bringing customers back. So, but yeah, right now, like I said, I'm kind of going through my plan with a fine tooth comb, really understanding where my costs are and expenses, and then also, you know, understanding where my revenue streams are. I've reached out to several different businesses. There's one particular in Michigan that I've been in contact with. They're a relatively new startup, and the gentleman that opened that actually had a podcast. It was called Starting a Startup. I recommend it to anybody that's interested. Definitely gives you a good perspective on what it takes to start up a business, and he kind of walks through step by step what he's going through. So I've reached out to him, and he's kind of given me a lot of advice and input, which has helped me kind of go in this direction. And some may say this is, you know, not the ideal time. You know, you got COVID and everything, and there's no bank that's like, oh, yeah, why don't you open up a family fun joint tomorrow? And it'd be great because no one's going to show up. But I really think this is a great opportunity to do my due diligence. You know, I figure we're going to have at least another 12 months before people even feel comfortable going back out to these kind of facilities. So that gives me a good time to, you know, get in touch with contractors and really understand, you know, is this business going to be a value add to this this area? Another fun study that I did was, I don't know if anybody's heard of the Next Door Neighbor app. It kind of gives you an opportunity to network with your neighborhood and kind of in a private network. So they have poll capabilities. So I gave a poll out to my neighbors and kind of, I got some really good feedback from them. Some coming back saying that, you know, pricing might be a little high for this area, which is understandable, but you still have to kind of compensate for where the building is going to be and what the costs are. So just depending on who you market to, it might be a fit for them based on their disposable income. So it's been a great journey so far, and I really enjoy the time being able to jump on here and talk to everybody. And I'm open to feedback. If you have any questions or comments, I'm wide open for them. So I appreciate your time.
Okay, Zach, thanks for the great presentation. Sorry about that.
No worries.
We can open it up to questions. If anybody has a question, jump on, speak up. If not, I'll ask a question. We're getting gold silence. So, all right, I'll start the questions.
Sure.
First thing I'm curious to know, I obviously see the logic of putting it into one of these big areas of the mall. But I also feel like your business concept is one that the people are going to come. It's going to be the only option, right, in the area. The people are going to come wherever you put it. And I'm wondering, have you thought about the idea of getting a little less prime real estate to drive your costs down a bit?
Yep. So I've looked at, I live over kind of on like by Herb Park in Appleton. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. So we got like the old shop right off in. Are we?
Yeah.
Awesome. We are. That's so cool. I won't give my address now, but maybe we'll talk about it. But so we got the old shop go off in Northland Mall. So I've reached out and I've kind of got some numbers on that one. So I need to follow that path a little bit more. I think I'm stuck on the concept of the foot traffic, and you have all of the hotels and everything right around the epicenter of the mall. So I know that's a big kind of not necessarily red flag, but a concern at this time of, you know, everybody that I've talked to is like, okay, well, you know, the mall, they can be a pain to work with. They're going to be expensive, this, and this. And so I know I've looked at, you know, the foot traffic that they have there, the demographic, and a lot of that stuff fits. So I think I really need to, you know, get down to, you know, kind of two business plans, really, one being at the mall and one not being at the mall, so that I can really understand, you know, what my costs are and how that's going to benefit me. Another thing that I've done is I've reached out to several different consultants that kind of specialize in these industries. And, you know, obviously I can only get so much free information, but then they have, you know, certain packages of like starting out and helping you out. And so kind of once I get to a certain point, I want to invest in, you know, a certain consultant that can then help me kind of, you know, go down a certain path. They can help me do more in-depth feasibility studies to say, okay, business or building A versus building B, what's going to be, you know, your best bang for your buck. And so it's definitely on my radar to, you know, investigate these two things. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. I guess another thing too, that I didn't mention was with the business, I was with it being at the mall. I thought it would be ideal because you have the food court and everything there. So I wouldn't necessarily have to worry about the food aspect of it. Whereas if I was a standalone, I would still feel that I would need some type of food. Now, granted, if you're at Shopko or at the old Shopko in Northland, you have, you know, the China Buffet, which I know everybody's not a huge fan of, but I mean, you still have like McDonald's and stuff there. I just feel like if you're a standalone, you would want to have something in the facility. Now, I know in the EC course, I talked to Brian quite a bit about this, and he said that, you know, you look at like a roller rink and they have just like a concession stand kind of food place, and you could do something like that. It's simple. You don't have as much stuff move or so many moving parts as like a restaurant. So definitely some options there. I guess I was kind of focused on like just the expenses of like a build out and like the equipment at this point. I haven't expanded out to the restaurant side of it yet.
So another question I have about it is, so now you said you have a junior league and a adult league.
Yep.
Kind of like, okay. So now The junior league, that's beyond just like a fun set or type
yes.
part, right? This is, yep. You actually have to, it's for like 16 year olds to what, 19 year olds or something would be a junior league.
So I think it's anybody 18 years or younger. I haven't done a whole lot of research on other facilities, but my interpretation is anybody 48 inches or taller up to 18 years old, and then 18 and older would be adult carts. And so these carts are programmable so that you can kind of vary the speed levels. So you can have, you know, top end speed, 50 miles an hour, and then you can, you know, slow them down to say 35 miles an hour. The kids are still wearing helmets and they're still as safe as what you would be in an adult cart. They're just not going to be competing at the same level. Now, I'm also considering doing like a family fun night where you slow all carts down to the same level so that, you know, mom and dad could race with the kids if they want to, all on the same track.
So now you saying that about the carts, now I'm curious. The carts that you would be getting, are these the same carts that all these other places have? They just have them slowed down to a point where...
So a lot of them, especially the outdoor ones, are all gas. So there's varying levels of carts. You can have your professional race carts that can go 100 miles an hour, and then you can have these, which are more of a commercial grade that a lot of the other facilities have, and their top end is 45, 50 miles an hour. So they're usually from, well, a lot of these are from like Europe, and they're like European design. So they're very fast. They're very low profile. They're mostly all electric. You can do gas high speed, but then you have to build in some type of an exhaust system into your building, so you extract all the fumes and stuff. So, and then there's also the expansion of like the, I'm sure everybody knows of Nintendo 64, and you got Mario Kart. So there's Mario Kart themed races that you can do as well. There's several different options on the market, but you can basically build that into your track where you're picking up like theoretical shells or shields, and you can like shoot at your, you know, opposing racers and things like that and slow them down and speed up. So that's also built into these carts that you can program so that you can, you know, vary the speed and kind of change up the whole race.
And open it up and allow anybody else to answer a question if they have one. If we don't have one, I'll just keep going.
That's fine. Like I said, I could talk about this thing all day. So.
Nobody? All right. So what is the... So being that these cars are that much... What kind of burden... How bad is the insurance situation on the side of it? Have you researched that? Like, is this...
Yep. So I know that was going to be a big one. And so I reached out, and it took a while because a lot of people in this area just don't service that type of industry. So they had to, you know, do a lot of reaching out and things. But honestly, I didn't think it was that bad. Now, I don't know what a normal go-kart track would cost for insurance or, you know, other businesses, but this was varying from 25 to 50,000 a year, which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I didn't think was that bad, considering what the lease cost is and all this other stuff. It's like, well, this is a, you know, drop in the bucket. So I didn't think insurance would be terrible. Now, I think it would change also if I put, you know, a restaurant into it. And then also a lot of places will do like a bar or something, which I don't want that liability. And I think that would just jack up insurance so much more because the whole drinking and driving. Mm. So my plans would be to keep that out. Now, granted, you could do catering events and then you could just cater that stuff in and say, okay, let's race first. Then you can drink and party afterwards, but we're not going to mix the two.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. I've got a question, Zach. I'm sorry if I missed it. Can you tell us a little bit about other locations around the country or place where they have these?
Sure.
And what you've learned from a competitive point of view?
Sure. So the closest one that I've been to is in Milwaukee. That one's Valachi. They have two tracks there, a very similar setup. You have an adult setup and you have a junior setup. And theirs was actually put into an old American department store. And they have kind of multiple complexes in there. So they have the go-kart track, which is kind of its standalone. They have a couple conference rooms in there. Really simple setup. They have some tables and chairs wrapped around the tracks you can watch. They have some arcades. They have varying packages that you can purchase as far as like Grand Prix style racing, where you have a series of like 8 races and I think you need a minimum of 6 people. And they do like corporate events and all that fun stuff. But then in the same complex, they have like a burger bar restaurant. And then I think they also have like an airsoft complex. So a very, very diverse, you know, complex. Other ones in the area are, you know, you expand out a little bit further. There's like 3 down in Chicago. The big franchises, you have K1 Speed. I think there's 2 K1 Speeds down in Chicago. And then there's Accelerate, which I don't think is a franchise. It's its own standalone. The K1 Speed is worldwide. They're all over the place. A lot of times these types of businesses locate in like the bigger metro areas. So you got like Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, things like that. And that's kind of what I've seen is doing some research that they look at population density of like 1.5 million and up. I've seen that they've been able to support maybe 1 or 2 of these with, you know, a population density of maybe 500,000. But usually that's kind of your threshold. Anytime you go over like 1 million, you might see more than one of these locations. But then a couple other franchises that I've followed, RPM out on the East Coast. They have a very good setup. I really like what they do. I think they have maybe 7 locations on the East Coast. So those are some of the major ones. Unfortunately, this all took place. You know, I was able to visit Valachi like right in March. It was actually kind of a birthday treat of mine. So I was like, I'll just do some business research and go, you know, race cars. But then like literally a week later, everybody got shut down for 2 weeks. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to just have to like virtually spy on all these places and just see what I can come up with. But fortunately enough, I was able to find that that gentleman in Michigan that opened up. It's called High Caliber Karting. Very similar setup. And he's been able to kind of help me feed me some information too. And he was able to open up 6 months before COVID hit. So he had some experience, but then he was kind of experiencing the same things. And in Michigan, they had a little bit stricter regulations. So he wasn't able to open up until just like a week or so ago. So there's definitely a lot of variation out in the industry. And I think it's great to kind of look and see what they all do.
Does it exist right now where like between the Milwaukee and the Chicago's, do they have like an interleague system where maybe the best of Milwaukee goes down to Chicago, competes with?
Not that I know of. I've asked the facility in Milwaukee what their leagues are. It only sounds like they run maybe one and it's like a 6-week window. So I don't know if they just don't get the following, but that franchise out in, East Coast, the RPM, they do, I forgot what it's called, but they do like I think it's a week or 4 week long event where each facility will compete. And then the best of that facility will go to one facility and then they will race. So kind of like what you're explaining is they do that type of thing. And I thought the same concept would be great. And that's what I've talked to the gentleman at High Caliber Karting was, you know, maybe we get to that point where we have a Midwest regional where we can come together. Because, yeah, we have the other one in Milwaukee, and then there's a few out in, like, the Minnesota, St. Paul area. And I was like, okay, we could, you know, have an interconnection here where we all have kind of a regional race together. So definitely an opportunity there to network and expand out.
We'll open it up. Does anybody else have questions out there?
If you think it's a bad idea, now's the time.
Yeah.
I may have missed it. Yeah, I just have a quick question. I may have missed it when you started, but what percent of your revenue are you looking at from the corporate gathering team building type side versus just the open walk-in or league racing?
Sure. So based on my research and industry standards, about 20%, which I seems pretty reasonable, especially for this area. So I would say about 20% would be corporate events. And then you give another 10 to 15% for like private parties, such as like bachelor parties, birthday parties, things like that. And then the majority is going to be that walk-in, whether they do, you know, the arrive and drive, or if they, you know, bring a group of friends just to do like a Grand Prix style racing. And then a little bit, maybe 10 to 15% again with the leagues. So that's kind of how I've broken it up as far as revenue streams. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I was just thinking, I think there's an opportunity for more though, too, you know, being okay. The indoor. A lot of team building and corporate structure and events to focus on during the day type activities or more afternoons.
Yeah, it was just hard to gather that information. So I've gotten a list. Basically, I would take any of my volunteer t-shirts and see all the companies that, you know, offer some type of support to volunteering, you know, when we had the Soul Burner and things like that. And so my idea was to reach out to these companies and see what they invest in on an annual basis for team building and kind of base it off of that. Just haven't got to that checklist of things to do. But yeah, another thing is my background is in continuous improvement. So I'd like to incorporate a lot of like, you know, 5S training or, you know, SMED events or, you know, value stream mapping, because what better way to, you know, experience that stuff other than hands-on with, you know, real live go-karts when we have a pit crew and, you know, how fast can we change a tire and things like that. So I think there's definitely some opportunities there.
And I wonder if there's an opportunity. I think it would be cool is if you had a league structure within a company. So like company could have their own league where all the employees are competing against each other, just kind of as like a team building or thing that a corporation could sign up for.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
On another side of this is sponsorship a big part of this, of your revenue model too? Or do you feel like you can mostly get it just from the actual people coming and racing? Like,
no, I thought sponsorship would be great. I didn't know how to approach it because I thought it would be great if you could have like a Kimberly Clark sponsored go-kart, or you could have, you know, banners of the different industries in the area. And so I thought that would be a great way, and even kind of to kickstart or help generate funds before we even get to, you know, the grand opening is, you know, how could we offer sponsorship packages for people in the area to, you know, kind of support the business and give us, you know, some feedback, and then also we could advertise for them. So yeah, I thought that would be excellent. Just don't know exactly how to approach it.
I think that's a great idea. I'd take a look at Fox River Race Club or WIR in Kakana and just kind of see what opportunities they have for sponsors to get out there and to do that and to participate to make it more of that racetrack feel. I think businesses would do it, you know, being it's year round and however you would structure the banners or the cart sponsors. I like both ideas. They're both good ideas.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely reach out to them. Thank you.
So if we don't have any more questions, I can ask you the final question of 1 Million Cups, and that is, what can the community do for you?
Sure. So this may be the first time everybody's heard of this. I know Amy, she's heard me preach a little bit about this a few times. So but anybody else, I guess my question or my ask to the community would be, now that you've heard it, I'd ask that, you know, sleep on the idea, and tomorrow I'll put my information however I can on this so that people can reach out to me. But my ask would be just send me some feedback, a pro and a con to the whole concept. You know, tell me, you know, I think this is phenomenal. I think it would do great, this, this, and this. And then also a con, you know, I know we talked about location, you know, maybe location's not ideal. But yeah, I think we have probably 6-7 people on here. I appreciate all the feedback. So if you could send me something back tomorrow or, you know, within the week, just to kind of say, hey, you know, this is what we thought of your presentation. I would greatly appreciate it. And I think it would just help build that, you know, momentum ball. Cause I know going through a startup, you can always hit, you know, mental roadblocks. And so I can always go back to these emails and say, well, somebody thought it was a good idea, or if I'm having a bad day and I see somebody tell me a bad idea, and I was like, okay, maybe don't need to read that one today. So that would just be my ask to the community. If you could do that, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Well, definitely drop your, like, wherever people should contact you into the chat so that everybody can see it. And then.
There we go.
Zach, again, I may have missed it. When's your target date for trying to actually get up and running by?
So right now, kind of a loose date. I'm hoping spring of 2022. Would be ideal. Kind of gives us a full year to, you know, pull ourselves out of COVID and get comfortable with going back out. Now, there's a lot of measures that we can take to make people feel more comfortable. But again, it's going to be that mental roadblock of how comfortable do you feel going out to a place like this and being close to people. Now, yeah, in racing, you're going to be, you know, a good distance apart. But again, it's the waiting in lines and playing the arcades and stuff. So it's really, you know, what do we feel is going to make people more comfortable? So that's my guesstimate right now is spring of 2022, but we'll play it by ear.
Excellent. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for all the feedback, Eric. I really appreciate it.
So with that, we will conclude this session of 1 Million Cups. We do have one guest in the pipeline right now. I have not scheduled them yet, so hopefully we will have them for next week. So just keep an eye out for that. And otherwise it should be coming up in the next few weeks. And after that, we are pretty light on anybody coming on. So if you do know any businesses that would like to present to 1 Million Cups, please do have them apply at 1 Million Cups Appleton's website. Other than that, everybody have a great day. Thanks for joining us this week. And thanks, Zach, for presenting your business.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.